Amen. I appreciate that. Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody again. Praise the Lord. Beautiful weather out. Thank you for turning the temperature down a little bit for us. You know, that was a blessing. Last week was, whoo, it was hot last week, wasn't it? Appreciate this church. Certainly, we look forward to coming here. We enjoy your friendship and fellowship. We appreciate the prayers because it's not about Terry Danford or our family. It's about Jesus Christ. And prayer is what makes it happen. Amen. We also appreciate you taking us on for support earlier this year or into last year. Time kind of runs together on the road, but whenever it was, we certainly appreciate it. And it's very timely. I don't know if you noticed or not, but when you go to the gas station, you get robbed. So that helps me pay the thief anyway. Let's get into this morning. 1 Kings chapter 21. Appreciate you standing to honor God's absolute truth. Amen. It's, here's a big word, immutable. Yeah. It's unchanging. So I'm glad in the day when they're trying to deconstruct everything, I still have a word of God that stands. God hasn't changed. He'll never change. And he promised to preserve his word for us, and he has, right here in the King James Bible. Amen. So we hold the very word of God in our hand, and we can trust it with our soul for eternity, and we can trust it with the problems of today. All right, I feel better. We can read now. Here we are, chapter 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, boy, she's a worker of art, isn't she? Whew. His wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Kind of reminds you of Hillary a little bit, doesn't it? Anyway, I'm trying to stay focused. Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were in the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Let's pray right there. Father, we ask that your word would go forth this morning, not returning void, but accomplishing the work that you desire. And our desire certainly is that if there's lost among us, they'd be saved. And to save today, Lord, to be called to action. Lord, that you'd help us in these times in which we live to be found faithful. Help us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, the title is this, Dirt and Grapes. If you're not taking notes this morning, the title is Dirt and Grapes. Get the same message either way we go. Amen. Well, we're going to look, God helping us, at a historical example of how a man who would rather die than disobey God. So let's start out with a couple of questions for us to entertain. Have you ever asked yourself what you would die for? You know, I believe that I would die for my wife. We've been in situations before where something might happen and all of a sudden you're very alert and just out of reflex, you're defending your family. I mean, I'm pretty confident I would die for my wife. I would die for my children. There's no question. It just, if it came to that, I would die defending them. In other words, I'm not the kind of husband who hears a bump in the night and says, honey, go see what that was. That doesn't work that way in our home, amen. It's like, I'll be back. So anyway, your wife, your children, we understand that. And folks, as messed up as our country is, I would still die for our country. I love America. I appreciate those who serve for her. And there's no doubt there's a lot of problems going on right now, but thank God for our country. Amen. So let me ask you this one. Would you die for God? You know, if that ever came to that, I pray that God gives me the grace to be found faithful to the end. I don't want to seem so arrogant that I say, oh yeah, I'd do that. Because that's what Peter said. Lord, I'll go to jail with you. I'll die for you. Jesus said, before morning, you're going to deny me three times. So right now, when there's not a gun pointed to my head, I would say, sure. But we don't know how we would respond. But we certainly could ask God to give us the grace, if that's the lot he has for us, to bring him glory. To be found faithful to him to the end. Amen. So I have a question for you here today. For the men and women, the young men and women, all that is present among us. Here's the question. What would it take to get you to compromise or sell out on God? Like in our text, would you die for dirt and grapes? That's what happened. That's what it was. It was a vineyard. A vineyard has dirt and grapes. That's it. Would you die for dirt and grapes? So let's look at the example of Naboth. And my first thought is, when I read through here, it's like, why? Why, Naboth, would you die for some dirt and grapes? Well, the answer is pretty simple. He lived by the conviction, what God says goes. Well, amen. So here's number uno. That's one for English-speaking people, okay? Here it is. It doesn't matter who the proposition comes from to sell out, you can stay true. Now, I know my points are long, but that's just how it works out for me. It doesn't matter who the opposition comes from to sell out, you can stay true. Back to our text. Here we are in chapter 21. Back on the other page for me. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good unto thee, or good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. So here, the proposition to sell out comes from the king. And Naboth says no to the king. Now, wait just a minute. Do you all not realize what kind of courage it would have taken back in that day to say no to a king? Well, I took courage just doing that much. Well, Ahab said, I'll give you a better one for it. So here's your chance, Naboth, to move up, to kind of kick it up a notch or two. I mean, you have some dirt and grapes, but over here's some better dirt and grapes. Come on, man. This is your day. It's your lucky. I mean, look at what's going to happen. You'll come out the winner. And Naboth said no to the trade. Well, king says, I'll give you money for it. Now think about this, Naboth, before you get so rash to say no. I mean, money still talks. And I'll give you money for it. And here's your chance not to have to struggle anymore. I mean, you'll be able to finally pay the bills that's been pressing you. You will have enough money left over to buy some of the toys you've been wanting to buy. Amen. Oh, come on, man. We all know what toys we want to buy. And our wives realize how expensive they are. Yeah. Okay. And wow, folks, you not only to have the money to get your bills taken care of and buy you some toys. Okay. Here's how you sell it to your wife. Hey, sweetie, I'll be able to get that kitchen you've been wanting. You know, the one I've been promising I'd build for you someday. Well, you just name what you want in it and we're going to put a new kitchen in. I mean, woo-hoo, we'll be on top. But Naboth says, no to the money. So I say, Naboth, why? It's just some dirt and grapes. Come on. Go for it. So can you see from the human standpoint, what's the big fuss over some dirt and grapes? Amen? I mean, if you can get better dirt and grapes, if you really like dirt and grapes like that, there's your chance. If you're tired of doing a dirt and great thing, here's the money. So I'm thinking, either way, Naboth, you're going to win on this one. Come on, Bubba. What's up with you? Well, you know what he said? Here's what he said in verse 3. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Folks, what God says goes. Well, amen. No. What God says goes. End of discussion. This isn't up for debate. This wasn't Naboth's decision. God had already made the decision for him, so it didn't matter who it was or what they offered him, the answer's the same. God forbid it me. The answer is no. It's not my choice. Even if I'd want to, I can't. God said no. Don't you appreciate somebody who's not for sale? Somebody who's willing to die than compromise. Somebody willing to die rather than sell out on God. Well, thank God for Naboth. Amen. Wow. Now, please realize that Naboth was a saved man. If you're here today and you're lost, then at the end of the day, what does this really matter to you? So what, you took a stand, and I'm not downplaying taking a stand. I mean, that's the emphasis of this passage. But if you take a stand and win, but if you're dead and now you're in hell, what it gain you? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So I want to encourage you this morning. Hey, if you're here and lost, you need to get saved. And the point of it is we're all born lost sinners. And there's a price for that sin. For the wages of sin is death. Thank God, Pastor quoted already this morning, that God committed, or he proved, God committed his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. So he paid that price for you, and he paid that price for me. And folks, how you acquire that isn't by some work. It's not by some noble stand. It is by falling under the conviction of the Holy Ghost with a repentant heart. God, forgive me, a sinner. I'm in trouble before you. I need you to forgive me. Please forgive me. And by faith, you call on Christ the Savior. And hallelujah, he promised if you call on him, whoo, he would save you. Amen? How many are saved this morning? Amen? What a blessing, folks. Well, see, for Naboth, it wasn't just saying some kind of prayer. I mean, it was for real to him, and that made Jesus his Lord. Yea, God was his king. And if God says it, whoop, it goes. If God says it, it goes. What God says, goes. Well, what did God say? You don't have to turn there. I'll read it, but if you want to and come back, that's fine. But it's Leviticus 25:23. It says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me. See, God had built in a protection for the Israelites' inheritance. And in doing that, he said, you can't give it away. And you can't sell it. Now, if life were to take a turn such that you needed to sell it to sustain your life, obviously life is more important than land. But that's where he instituted the year of Jubilee. So then on the Jubilee, your debts are forgiven and the land returns to the original owner. Because it's a big deal with God what the Israelites did with his inheritance. This is how he planned it out. I think it's a wonderful program, you know. And God said that. I realize that you and I, we live in a little different kind of an economy today. But this was a big deal to God. And what God said was a big deal to Naboth. Well, amen. So, one can stay true to what God says, even if the king, or in our case, the government, propositions you to sell out. Church, no man has the right or the authority to dictate to anyone else when, where, or how we worship God. That is a liberty of conscience. It is a freedom of religion. And we're going to be looking at some heroes this week, starting tonight through Wednesday. Some people had the same spirit that Naboth did, that, hey, what God says goes. I encourage you to be here. It's pretty stirring. I know it stirred me up just going over it again. So I'm looking forward to it. Amen. So we need some men like Peter who will obey God rather than men. And we need some men like Naboth that's going to have the courage to obey God rather than men, regardless of what the government says. Folks, don't be deceived right here. I'm not trying to get super political. Honestly, I tried to preach a different message today and God kept bringing me back to this. This is where we're at right now at this point in time. We have midterms rolling up on us. I'm expecting something to happen. I'm expecting something to come up. Do you think COVID was an accident? Folks, I believe it was well planned. Okay? And I agree with your preacher. The biggest conspiracy leader, yeah, his name's the devil. Satan, an old dragon, okay? And he's working a plan that God laid out, and God's right on time with his plan. Amen. Well, anyway, you can expect something to happen. Have you heard about this monkey virus? Just this morning on my phone, I read a thing that was off of some blip or whatever as a highlight that Biden was talking about it, and he said, everybody needs to be concerned about this. I thought, here it comes. Don't be surprised. Folks, what in the world? You know, God tells us in the book of Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's a command. Assembling is the church meeting. In fact, church, is it not a called out assembly of baptized believers? Is that not what the word means? Amen. I see your theme for the year. And I seen that, I thought, boy, we could preach a whole week just on that. That's wonderful. We need to know who we are and what we are and our doctrine. Doctrine's still important today. Absolutely is. And thank God for that. But I'm just saying, hey, what happens if they force us not to meet? Would you still meet somebody's garage or basement or out in the woods or in a park somewhere? See, Lord help me with this. I'm 58. I've been saved 42 of those years. In my lifetime, I've had it pretty easy. Persecution for me might be a couple of people getting mad, a couple of people slamming the door in my face. I was asked to leave a couple of people's doorstep a couple of times out soul winning, okay? And I've been called a couple of names. Woo! I've really suffered, Brother Scott, you know? So in my time, this is new waters for me. In fact, it's new waters for the churches in America. Okay? But this is not anything new to our heritage. You know, when we talk about Baptist history, one of the reasons I like calling it heritage, because a heritage belongs to me. History's history. But heritage, this is who we are. Amen? So it shouldn't be surprising to us if someday you and I might have to take a stand. Not trying to be negative, but at the same time, I'm held accountable by God to warn from His Word, to strengthen the brethren. Well, I'm encouraging you. Hey, just have a conviction. What God says goes. Well, amen. Well, I believe this is a church that already has that mindset. So it's what makes preaching a message like this pretty easy. But if you want to talk about somebody in the past, just a little, 30-second slot here. You ever hear the Waldenses? Sure you have. You have a preacher that preaches this kind of stuff. Hey, they thought assembling was important. Even at the risk of their own life. And when they found those believers in that cave, folks, many of them died for assembling themselves together. But they did it anyway, because what God says goes. See, it's important because it's a big deal to God. When it's a big deal to God, it should be a big deal to us. And when we are, parents and grandparents, and of course we're waiting on that grandbaby thing one of these days, hopefully. I hear that chapter's pretty cool, so Tina and I are looking forward to it. But nonetheless, don't get me sidetracked. We need to have a resolve that we're going to raise our children, yea, grandchildren, according to God's word. What God says goes. Hey, the world school system, their curriculum, folks, is full of socialism and perversion. I'm not making these things up. My sister's a janitor to the school up in Indiana. And she was texting me the other day and said, I don't know how far this is going to go, but this is getting ridiculous. You know what they have, not in her school, but on up the road in Kokomo, Indiana. You know what they have in their schools right now? I said, are you serious? This is really there? Because I can't even get my head around it, Pastor. Litter boxes in the bathrooms for the kids who feel like they're cats. That's where they, being very discreet, use the litter box. My sister said, I'm not cleaning those out. Well, it's like, amen, sis, I don't blame you. That's perversion everywhere. Where's it going to stop? Well, it's not. You remove God, you don't have any absolute, you don't have any standard. Folks, no wonder. Well, I'm praying that God sends us another awakening, another revival to spread through His churches, where when people literally drive by on the road, fall under conviction of the Holy Ghost of God for their sin. You know, I read about that happening. I'm ready to see it happen again. Yeah, amen. Wow. So today I would call what they're being taught just full-blown communism. But we need to teach our young people what God says go. In fact, do you think that's going to make us for stronger homes? Do you think that's going to make our churches stronger? In fact, I believe it's part of the plan to destroy our homes and to destroy our churches. Well, back to Naboth, I mean, the attack didn't stop there. Secondly, it doesn't matter what others say about you, you can stay true. Secondly is, it doesn't matter what others say about you, you can stay true. Back to our text, we pick up in verse 4. And Ahab came into his house, having displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry, and I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth thy Jezreelite. She doesn't have that authority. Folks, that's flat out thievery. They don't have the authority just to take things away like that. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, the sons of the devil, that's what that means, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and carry him out and stone him with stones that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. Well, a bunch of weenies. Where's their moral compass? Hey, nobody has the right to murder. Boy, somebody ought to tell the crowds this, trying to burn the justice's house down. And you're defending a right to murder. There is no such thing as a right to murder. Murder's wrong. And it just shows you how that these wicked leaders have surrounded themselves by other wicked leaders. I mean, this thing goes deep. Don't you love how relevant the Word of God is? It makes it easy for us preachers. We don't have to make it relevant. We just have to preach what's there, because it's already relevant. I mean, so far it sounded like what's going on today, doesn't it? Man, this thing's deep. Where do you turn? Well, you and I, we turn to God, because He's the only one big enough to deal with it. Amen. Well, anyway, these sons of Belial, they're worthless. They're for sale. I don't have any respect for a man that's for sale. We need to have some character, folks, and that we don't have a price, and we don't plan on selling out, and that we'd rather die than compromise. We'd rather die than sell out on God. And these low-down children of the devil, a bunch of liars, well, what is he? Well, he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. They're acting just like their father, the devil. So we shouldn't be surprised at their actions. They're just acting what they are. Folks, we do need to stand, no doubt about that. But wow, my goodness. And then they lied on him. They said, hey, he blasphemed God and the king. No, he didn't. Folks, he honored God by obeying him. If you love me, keep my commandments. He showed his love to God by obeying God, even when the circumstances wasn't really good in his favor to do so. Folks, he's honoring God. He's loving God with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might and with all his strength. Thank God for Naboth, who's going to say, hey, what God says, go. And you're not having my father's inheritance. The Lord forbade it me. The answer is no. I don't care what you say. And then they say he blasphemed God. Hey, as a pastor for those several years, pastors go through a whole lot of emotions, okay? And slander is common. It's not right. Where somebody takes what you said, spends it, and then lies about you to the other people. And as a pastor, counseling some people, and they didn't like which way that was going, because we preach what God says goes, then they run and tell the town, oh, we did this and this and this, and paint you the bad guy, and paint you the bad guy in the church, and the church is all getting upset and everything, and wait a minute. You can't really say what happened because you're the pastor. You got to be careful with that. But what I have found is, well, let me ask, how many's ever lied about you before? Anybody ever had that happen? Amen. Hurts, doesn't it? Sure it does, and it even brings some anger. Well, here's what I found. You just stay faithful. You just keep serving God. And how many times have my wife and I just seen where God then in time vindicates?
Right.
The truth comes out. And you don't have to say anything because everybody sees what's going on.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And the pressure today that's on the men of God, folks, I see it. We're in how many states we go now. Folks, it's everywhere. Quiet down a little. Back up. Drop your doctrine. Just have dialogue. Just preach these little warm, fuzzy sermonettes. It makes everybody feel warm and gooey. You know, and that's disgusting. Thank God for a man of God that has a courage and has a cast iron pipe for a backbone. Amen. And is just going to stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord. Tell you what, you ought to thank God for your pastor like that, for having a man that loves God and who loves you and loves you enough to give you the truth and loves God enough to be faithful to preach what God says goes. Amen. Man, that's good. Well, thank the Lord. Well, it doesn't matter what others say. You can stay true to God. Here's a problem I'm seeing today, though. I'm seeing some men sell out for a whole lot less than dirt and grapes. Selling out for popularity. Selling out for nickels and noses. Selling out for bigger buildings. Not that those are wrong to have, but if you compromise to get them, what good was it? That's kind of like cheating to win the presidency. Well, big deal. You cheat to get there. What's up? You know, does that make you feel good now? Anyway, you'll catch that later. Some sell out even for a pack of cigarettes. Or sell out for what they allow on TV, their screen time, or the music they allow in their home. And folks, even dress is important to God. Modesty is still a big deal to God. Amen. So thank God for those who are faithful. And faithful to the house of God, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together. Again, the Waldenses, they met in caves and in the woods, and some of them, it even cost their life. But what they lived by, they lived by the conviction of what God says goes. Amen. So here's number three. Number three is this. It doesn't matter if you face death, you can still stay true. It doesn't matter if you face death, you can still stay true. Look at verse 14. And they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. Wow. Hey, folks, for some, from the earthly perspective, it looks like Naboth just died for some dirt and grapes. From the human side of this. Just dirt and grapes. Some would say, what a wasted life. Boy, he was stupid. And they would ridicule him. Huh. Well, the truth of the matter is, he actually died for his convictions. He'd rather die than go against what God says. And he did die because he would not compromise what God said. Naboth's obedience to God cost him his life. Naboth believed what God says goes. Now, let me talk with you about that just for a second. That's kind of a downer of a point. The guy dies. He acts, he's murdered. Well, that's not very exhorting. I don't feel all warm and fuzzy over that one. But folks, this isn't the movies like we like to watch, where at the end the good guy finally makes it, or the bad guy finally gets shot, or they ride off into the sunset and everything's like, good. This isn't a movie. And from our perspective, Naboth lost out. He was murdered. Well, I believe from God's perspective, Naboth died a hero because he wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't sell out. Well, thank God for that. Is this making sense? Folks, is this not where... I hope I'm wrong, but I believe we're headed there. We're going to have to know who we are, what we believe, and purpose by God's grace, we're going to stand right here. Amen? Amen. And I'd rather preach a fun message and a happy ending and kumbaya, everybody shake hands and go home, you know. Let's eat lunch. But is this not what our country needs? Is some men that are willing to die than disobey God? Is this not what our churches need? Are men that are willing to leave their families in godliness in spite of what the culture's shoving down their throat? Is this not what we need? Some husbands and daddies that will love God with all their heart so much they even obey Him in their own homes? Is this not what we need? Is some women who would rather die than sin against God? The teenagers that are in here, the young adults, the young people. Is this not what we need? Is for some young people, yeah, young adults, teens, I like calling them youth. I think that's more of a Bible word. But hey, for a teenager to say, you know what? I might just be young yet, but by God's grace, I'd rather die than sin against God. I believe if God's seen a group of people like that, we're liable to see another awakening. Yeah, amen. I mean, teenagers that are so sold out to God that they're willing to delete some songs off their MP3 because they know God's not happy with it. Willing to delete some of their DVRs or their MP4s. Willing to allow their moms set some controls on their phone that help monitor what's going on for when the flesh is a little weak. Being careful what we see on YouTube or Netflix or the internet. I mean, there's too many for me to name. You know what I'm saying. And I'm confident you probably know way more than I do in that area anyway. I can name maybe 4 or 5. And you're probably like, well, Brother Danford, I can name 50. You probably can. But that's not the point. The point is, are you going to do what God says? He says to keep ourselves pure. What God says goes. So how are you going to do what God says if you never spend any time reading His Word to find out? This is what we call application. Folks, it doesn't happen with the closed Bible and you sleep on it. That osmosis thing doesn't work. I tried it in high school and college. It didn't work either place. Amen? You got to open the book. By the way, a closed Bible is the defeat of Christian. Open this thing up. Get your nose in it. Read it. Memorize it, study it, live it, share it. It'll change your life. Who was it that said, sin will keep you from this book or this book will keep you from sin? I think it was that anonymous guy. He writes a lot of things. But he wrote a good one when he wrote that one, amen? So then when it comes to the local church, here we are, and God has given you and I a stewardship, yea, a commission. You know the verses, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. I know you can quote this. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Folks, God has not changed his commission to his churches. So in the midst of all the craziness, it isn't time to go dig a big hole in the backyard, bury a bus, and eat MREs the rest of our life. It's not time to pack it up. It's time to fire it up. Amen. It's time to get out there and win them and baptize them and train them. And we got to be careful with that discipleship, because they're coming from a premise now of the last couple of generations coming out of our schools where they don't even know who God is or even if he exists. We got to start back, sadly, Genesis 1:1. Amen? But let's go do it. Let's ask God for one more revival, another awakening. And tonight and this week, God helping us, we're going to learn about some people who, like Naboth, live by the conviction of what God says goes. Amen? So again, if you're here today and you're lost and you're a patriot, thank God you're still standing for something. But at the end of the day, it's not going to help you any if you wind up in hell. So I invite you this morning to come. Repent of your sin and call on the Lord to save you, and he will. Amen. Now you're standing for something, mounts to something. Right. Now we're walking in obedience to God. Amen. So to the church, just coming in echoing what you've already heard your preacher say. Folks, let's be faithful to the end. What God says goes. Let's all stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.